So I had an idea 10 years ago, right? This is when I was just doing audio and I wanted to do something unique for the summer because I just started the AF podcast and, you know, was starting to, you know, was going good in the introductory phases of it. And I wanted something for the summertime that was a little more unique. I had the thought of the idea to make it like this at that point in time, but I wasn't there yet. I wasn't there to flesh out the idea properly yet. So I started The Stoop, and that was a series of conversations, of good times, of fun. And I just wanted to have not the normal conversation that you would have with friends, because as you can see here, The Stoop is like, it's a representation of culture, of history, of great conversations. It's unplanned good times, right? Every time you've been on The Stoop, you've been on the staircase, it always represented fun conversations, laughter, a lot of joy. And I kind of wanted to bring the spirit to this idea, right? So for years, I had this in mind to do the an audio version of this. And I was doing it for a while. I did a few years of it. And then during the pandemic, I ran some testers and I didn't like it. I didn't like the testers. So I kind of shelved it for a little bit and I was trying to, you know, think of the idea, how to make it better. So I didn't do the idea for a couple of years or a few years, you know, and then life was life for a little bit. With that said, I decided last fall to kind of do the idea, kind of dealing with it a little bit because I was going through a passing. My mother passed recently during that time. So my idea was to do this last summer, but that kind of pushed everything back a little bit. But I wanted to get the year out, at least with doing this episode. With that said, I did two testers, right? This is why I'm calling these two first episodes the preseason of The Stoop, right? It's The Stoop preseason. So I had two episodes that I drafted up in the fall. I did them literally, actually it was the morning after the Blue Jays lost the World Series, right? So the energy was surprisingly high for such a low moment for the city. And we were hoping we were going to be celebrating and be a lot less sober during the filming of those episodes. So with that said, I had friend of the podcast that I've done throughout the previous years, Mr. Jonathan Boxhill, a good friend of mine, also author. We had this conversation one day in passing. I decided to make it into a show. It was just about the idea of when you're rich and successful as a black man, and we're kind of taught to hustle our way to the top. But then what do you do when you get to the top? When you get to like the peak of the mountain, how do you stay there? What's the blueprint and the guardrails for staying there? And, you know, you're seeing some of these guys in the past few years fall down the mountain, you know, tumbling over head over heels. It's weird, but there's just not a blueprint to kind of stop that progress. So we just got into this whole conversation about it. So like I said, remember, we're dressed for this weather during that time. So it was a little chilly. I have a toque on. I've went a hat on. It was sunny. But the vibes were nice, man. It was a good time. So for this one, like I said, we get into that whole conversation, the whole concept of that. And then we ended off talking about grief. All right. So I hope you guys enjoy this one. This is the first episode of The Stoop. We got a whole season of them coming so far, at least 8 to 10 episodes this year. It's going to be unique. It's going to be fun. I'm hoping to bring that spirit and that vibe over from what I just mentioned earlier to you, to your ears and to your eyes, at least for these first two. After this, is going to specifically, it's only going to be on my YouTube channel. All right. So with that said, hit the like and subscribe buttons as always. South Shore Ave is available wherever you listen to podcasts. Make sure you go to the South Shore Ave YouTube channel. Subscribe, 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 subscribe. If you're listening to them, hit those 5 stars for me. I appreciate you. Thank you. And as always, I love y'all and I appreciate the support. So with that said, The Stoop preseason is here. All right. We're launching this one out today. And then in July, you're going to see some of them pumping out throughout the summer and the fall. All right. So stay tuned. It's The Stoop with Cal C on South Shore Ave. Let's go. Welcome to The Stoop, where I'm joined by friend, author, and mindfulness trainer, Please welcome Mr. Jonathan Boxhill to the show. How you doing today, my brother, my guy? How you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing good, bro. I'm about to take over this podcast, man. You messed up by bringing me on here, man. It's mine now.
Nah, man, it's mine. It's always mine, punk.
That's my intro.
Nah, man, but I appreciate you for doing this. You know, I love life, though, sometimes, because it's like, you know, when a thought before the thought becomes an action, you know what I mean? We're at that stage where, you know, for those who don't know, we did a test run during the pandemic. I just didn't like how I looked in it or how I felt. I was uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And now looking back, I'm like, I'm an idiot. I probably should have just posted that out during that time. I could have been a trailblazer, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And maybe I still can be, you know, but thank you for coming back and doing this, man, in this relaxed environment. As I'm recording this, unfortunately, the Jays lost, but that's a whole other thing. We're fresh off that loss right now, so we're still feeling the pain of that, man. It's crazy. It's funny because this topic that I wanted to bring up real quick over on the stoop is that, you know, Puffy went to jail, right?
He did?
Yeah. It was shocking, right? He went to jail.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that mm-hmm. guy, you know, the guy. Yeah, he went to jail.
Take that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. And you know, everybody looks at it as like, you know, he's a disgusting human being and everything else. And I'm not saying you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You're right about that. Everybody's right about that. Like, he, you know, considering the crimes that he committed, I'm like, yeah, he needs to do the time for real. And he's there for 4 years, no probation, straight 4 years. So, but the thing that I kind of latch onto a little bit is it's yet another successful, the uber successful brother who's basically stopping the train of wealth through his community and through his family. Mm. And why, you know, like why I want to talk about this is because I feel like we've had this conversation before where it's like when you get to the mountaintop, why can't some of these guys just stay at that mountaintop or just continue to expand on that mountain instead of falling down the other side of it?
Mm.
Once, you know, controversy hits, you know what I mean? Or certain things hit, like, it's like, we're almost like, it's like we're trained to grind and get to the top. But then when we get to the top, now what?
Yeah, that's a good point, bro. You know? I think you just hit on something. The grinding probably never stopped in their mind. Like, everybody teaches about how to make it or how to get successful, but rarely do people talk about what happens when you get there,
right?
What happens when you get that thing you always wanted and not go into self-sabotage or not spiral, you know? And I don't think there's a lot of mentors or examples for people to see that. We kind of see, like, the people either after the fact when they made it, but we never really seen what happened, you know, behind the scenes, how they got to where they were going. And that's important, because if you skip lessons, when you get that thing you want, it'll come and hit you in the face, you know? And to me, that's the thing is, did you get those lessons? Like, my mistakes, I'm glad they weren't public. Like, I'm glad people didn't see the dumb crap I did in life. It wasn't for everybody to see, right?
Man.
I'm glad I got that lesson. Thank you. So now I'm ready. Like, give me that. That what I need, give me my blessings, you know, because I'm not going to mess that up. I feel if you skip those lessons, if you don't learn that, that's going to come around and bite you.
And it's true, because, like, what's the foundation, what's the groundwork of, like, having that community, like, come for you and just be able to mentor you in a way? Like, who's the mentors at that time? Does that speak to, like, I guess when you're not to say pioneer, but like when you're one of the few people, like Puffy was at a point where, for example, or like even like a Kanye, these guys were billionaires or close to being billionaires. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, there's nobody else that looks like us that could help you say, hey, John, from here, quiet this down or shut this off or do this or, bro, clean this up, man, because this might come back and get you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When you get to a certain level of power and success, it's like, is the ego too big that you're even allowing yourself to listen to, like, you know what I mean? Be able to catch those mistakes before it happens.
Well, listen to Kanye's song. You can't tell me nothing. You know, you can't. He's telling you, bro.
Yeah.
You know, I did this. You know, now you're going to come tell me. So you're right. The ego, you know, definitely just takes people out. It gives illusions to people.
Man.
It fools you. You actually believe that character.
Yeah.
I feel like whatever character people create, they actually believe that. Like, if they don't have real people around them,
yeah,
they turn into, and they don't know how to turn off from that character. Like, yeah, I'm so-and-so. No, you're not. You're Tyrone J. You know
what I mean? You're still that guy.
Yeah, come on, man. Yeah. You got to know how to switch on and switch off. And I'm thankful for the mentors in my life. Like, we have been around circles of older dudes.
Mm-hmm.
We used to go to a lot of black men's, you know, meetings and stuff, right?
Right.
And that was powerful. A lot of brothers never had that because they're so focused on their grind.
On their grind. And the and the people, their peers around them, but not like the... Because, I mean, you do need the mentor. You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. You do need the mentor that takes you to that other level. Or at the very least, if you're going to have somebody that's in your age group, you at the very least, you want somebody to be like, you got to have... It's funny. You know that show Entourage? I always say it's like, you always need that E. Like, the guy that's, like, beside the star that's like, yo, you need that one or two people that be like, yo, you're fucking up. You can't do that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, you can't... Yo, Calvin, pull it back, man. Like, this is not what you want to do, bro. Like, think about this. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I think another thing that kind of helps perpetuates this cycle of, like, of us not getting to where we need to be in this sense is I feel like the culture, right? Like, I love the culture. Like, this that's that word everybody talks about. It's like an unwritten rule, you know what I mean, of how to be and how to condone yourself in within the black community and everything else, which I love. But at the same time, we, you know, and not to be preaching, I'm not being preachy on this, but I feel like we're at the same time, we don't, what's the word? We don't, losing my train of thought. I feel like we don't have a value in ourselves in the sense of like we like in terms of the beefing and stuff, right? Like, and I'm thinking like social media in terms of like you seeing the fights or like two media conglomerates like say like a Joe Budden versus somebody else and they're back and forth and they're beefing and that's making the news and that's making and I'm like I feel like at this stage of the game now where like the culture is and stuff and where we're moving in terms of media and everybody's, you know, having microphones like such as myself and we're doing all this. It's like we need to kind of keep those inner beefs kind of like off the scene because and I'm saying this because I'm like we don't make money on it. You know what I mean? It's like we get it's like I'm not sure if that's really helping the bottom line in the grand scheme of things. You know what I mean?
Well, they would say they make money off of it. You had the biggest beef. Drake and Kendrick Lamar that took over the whole damn world. So that model of seeing black men against each other is profitable,
right?
And it works for a certain, you know, reason. But what you're saying is, when are we going to? What I hear you're saying is, when are we going to get out of that? Because there's and look at the long game; it doesn't work out. Yeah. Nobody really wins.
Yeah,
and where does it go? You both are coming at each other's reputation. And I totally agree what you're saying. There's no values. There's no morals. That's out the window. There's no standards. And that goes back to mentorship. That goes back to having examples. When you see the old guys acting like the younger generation on social media, it's wild.
It's like reverse growth. we're not helping each other by doing that.
I don't know, but I remember back in the days, men didn't do those things.
No, that definitely doesn't feel like that, and like it breeds a competition, right? Like, and competition is good. Competition is good, but I think at this stage, it's like we have to balance the competition with also helping each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To get to like those levels, like you know, the thing about a mountaintop, right? Like everybody always feels like there's only, and it's the shitty rules. Like you always feel like there's only one. There's only room for one on a mountaintop. But if you've ever been on the top of a hill or the top of a mountain, there's room for a lot of people to be there.
Yep.
You know what I mean? But it's just we're conditioned to be like there's only... Some of it is sports. Some of it is competition. You can go way further than that to go back on it. But like you feel like some of it is designed to like, okay, well, Jonathan can only be this one. And I gotta knock Calvin off or vice versa. And it's like, no. I should be like, John, come. There's room here. You build on this side, I build on this side, and then we just grow this mountain. We get this thing popping and get it bigger.
Absolutely,
you know what I mean. So I think that's the problem. So when you're seeing the success of these guys, and then they get to that, like I said, to get to that mountaintop, to get to that level of all the grinding, it's like, what's the blueprint after the grind?
I think some people may think, well, nobody helped me, so why should I help them, type of vibe. I've heard that being stated before. And it's, again, it speaks to the lack of having values, morals, centeredness, and maturity. Yeah. You know, because you're thinking as an individual, which is how they want us to think. But what's funny is, you know, when you look at the bigger picture, companies don't really move like that.
No.
You know, a lot, it's, what's funny is you'll have, for example, in the fashion world, you'll have these big time luxury brands all owned by the same company. And they look like they're in competition, but they're not.
Yeah.
It's manufactured competition, but they're really all working together. One brand, one company owns like 5 or 10, and they'll release one out and then release another one.
Yep.
And what they're doing is they're trying to create creativity, but it's the illusion that they're in competition. But we really get into that. We really are like, you know, we really get into the, at least be smart and say, yo, let's have a fake beef. You know, that would be dope. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And, and then come out and say, you know, oh, we're working together again. Mm-hmm. Like show some type of brotherhood or some type of growth. After beef, there is reconciliation or understanding. Like, that's why I love to see Nas and, like, Cormega.
Mm.
Wasn't that dope?
Yeah. Yeah. But, even in, like, a Nas and Jay-Z and people like that, where it's like you can move on from it. When people come for him, and you've seen over the last few years, and people come and beef with him or say, Nas is this and Nas is that, he never punches back. Like, no. I remember... I think it was going to hip hop for a second. I remember with 21 Savage. I think 21 Savage had something to say about him, and it kept quiet. Next thing you know, the two of them had a song together. That's growth. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
Like,
because he apologized too, I believe.
Yeah, I think he did. Yeah,
yeah.
He did. And then they put out a song together, and now it's all peace. But I love that energy because it's like, I don't have time to. Like, this isn't the time to be beefing and going back and forth and let's get our name in the paper.
Right.
Let's do this shit. No. Yeah. Like Nas right now, as you can see, perfect example. Like, this guy's a casino going. You know what I'm saying? Like, this guy has all these different businesses going. Let me focus on that. You know what I mean? I'm not.
That's like, what matters.
That's not what petty matters. Beef, like, yeah, that shit doesn't matter.
He did the same thing with Jeezy. With Jeezy was coming at him because he said hip hop is dead. He took it personal.
Yeah.
And I heard he had a conversation with them. It was like, no, I'm not coming at you personally. And that helped Jeezy to grow.
Yeah.
So he's teaching brothers how to move.
Yeah. Like, I think we're at this stage now. We need more of that.
Yeah.
Than we need. And then when we get to that mountaintop, like, I feel like Nas is getting to the mountaintop, and now you're pulling people.
Yep.
You're pulling people up. That's what we need now. You know what I mean? As brothers, that's what we need now. We don't need, like, we need more millionaires and billionaires and all of that. But we don't need, like, we don't need the like, yo, John's on his own. F that guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I got to crush him to get to the top. You see it in so much genres. You see it in music. You see it in sports. You see, it's like we're conditioned to be that. And it's like, we don't need to. I think at this stage where certain genres are, we don't need to do that anymore.
No, we don't.
You know what I mean?
Why should we? We are trendsetters. We create culture.
Absolutely.
Isn't that what culture, like hip hop or whatever it is we do, it's about leading.
Right.
Creating something that's new.
That's
so
it.
Why do we now go back and follow what the masses are telling us to do? I was watching this one guy on YouTube, this professor, he was talking about in Harvard.
Yeah.
The way they organize Ivy League schools, it's all competition and warfare.
Yeah.
It's all, so you create competition to get into higher education, right? It can only be three. They can only be four people. Then when they get in there, it's everyone's trying to play to the professor. Everyone's back to competition, cutthroat, to get into in these Ivy Leagues. And then when they get out of the Ivy Leagues, guess what they're doing in the corporate world?
Yeah.
They're doing the same
shit.
So why do we have to do that?
Yeah.
I'm with you with that.
Yeah, we don't need to be there anymore. Like, I think that's the stage that we're at now. Like, we don't need to be at this stage now where it's like we're still harnessing this, like, okay, the competition, like, for sports, and I come from the sports background, so yeah, I get it for sports when you're in between the lines and whatever the game is. But once that's over, it's like, okay, let's build. That's why I respect certain athletes and what they do in terms of pulling each other up and doing these things. Like, I'm like, I like to see that, but we need a lot more stories of that and less of the, like I said, as again, going back to Puffy, he needs to be in jail, 100%. At the same time, it's like, yo, that cycle of wealth stopped in his community and especially stopped for his family because he's never going to have access to that kind of bread again. You know what I mean? Like, and his family, just because they're attached to his last name. Nobody's going to want to mess with that side again. You know what I mean? So it's like, you just stopped a bloodline. You just stopped this train of wealth from just continuing to go on these tracks. You know what I mean? Go down the tracks. It just stopped. It just went off. It just careened off now. That's it.
I think we're at a good time in history where stuff is collapsing, stuff is uncertain, and stuff is not working. I think in this kind of confusion, it's time to rethink things. So I think like what you're saying is, this is the time to rethink what we're doing. Because if we look back, certain things work, but we can't continue anymore with this same type of mentality.
Right.
This is the rethinking stage.
That's it.
And we need more. We need more young dudes also saying this stuff so that the other young dudes will listen to them.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and break the old, you know, old guy mentality, man. I don't want to listen to this old dude, you know, old ass, you know what I mean? But, which I can't stand. But, like, when I was young, bro, I remember a quick story that, like, my dad, you know, he, you know, our fathers were all big and tall and their voices were deep and so I had a Filipino friend and he went with me to a party, right? And my dad's my uncles were there and then my dad's friends and they were talking and they're loud and they're aggressive, you know, from the crib, yo, but they're chill. He was scared. He thought they were gonna fight. I'm like, no, bro, this is just playing dominoes. They're all and that's not his culture. So I was like, oh, this is not normal. I'm like, oh.
We're used to it, right? So
we don't understand how powerful we are. We don't understand our own power, our own presence, you know? And then we misuse it. You get what I'm saying? That's my point, really, is we're so powerful, and I think sometimes we don't understand our power, and we don't need to be doing what you're saying, which is going so hard at each other. We just need to focus that power into something real, because our women need us right now. And that's why it's good what you're doing with this podcast, to try to have a voice.
I appreciate that. And
have a difference than, yo, you know what so-and-so is doing? You know what beef is happening right now? You know?
Yeah. And it's funny because even with the Drake and Kendrick thing, it's like, as a music head, and it sounds funny for me to say this because I'm a hip-hop guy and I'm a hip-hop head, but at the same time, it's like watching that beef happen last year was like, and I even said it when I did my pod last year about it. I'm like, as much as I liked it and it was like entertaining and all this stuff, at the same time, it's like, again, we need this again.
Exactly.
And on top of that, I'm like, it flows into the same basin. Like, both guys are fighting, and Universal is, they're raking in the cash at the end of the day. So we're not profiting, really, from, we're not, you know, the main profiteers from this. Mm-hmm. It's somebody else that's raking this in. So I'm like, at the end of the day, it's like,
What came out of that, really?
You know what I mean? Like, in the grand scheme of things, in the overall big scheme of things, what came out of that? You know what I mean? Like, how did that help us go forward? I mean, and you can, and people can say whatever they want to say about it, but I'm like, in the grand scheme of things, I'm like, it all flows into the same basin. So I'm like, who won from that?
That's a good metaphor. It flowed down into the toilet. Yeah. Nothing came out of it. Nothing.
Who won from that?
We got hyped for a moment, but, and then we're at hip hop 50. We're on the verge of something. And then this comes out. You think, okay, maybe this would have renewed it in some way. It didn't really do that.
Yeah, because when you look at hip hop now, they said it's the first time that it's the first time that no hip hop songs are in the top 40 in the Billboard in 35 years. So after everything, it's like the game is now, it's actually, we're at a worse place. You know what I mean? In terms of at least the hip hop side, we're at a worse place. You know what I mean? So like, I don't think, like I said, at the end of the day, it's like, who did the beefs benefit? You know what I'm saying? At the same time, it's like, and how do we take those monsters that are like, you know, multimillionaires or corporations, and we keep that growing? Like, we need to see more of that growing than we need to see that. Like, watching somebody fall and seeing them crumble, it's like, you know, back in the day, you'd be like, yeah, look at this guy, whatever, look at this girl, like, she messed up the game. But it's like, no, that's a sad story, because somebody had that thought, made it an action, grew that action into something that was so mega that went beyond the 1% to fall right back down. I'm like, that's not something we need to celebrate anymore. You know what I mean? Like, I'm talking just us, the culture. Like, we need to now, we got to go forward. Like, this is, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, to watch a like a Puffy or a Kanye and all these people and stuff, like go down the pipes. And I'm, and again, I'm not excusing anything that they're doing. Like, they let them fall how they fall if they're effing up. But at the same time, it's like, we need to see more success, success stories now that's maintaining through generations. Now their family could take it and take it to another place. Like,
yeah,
like other cultures, other communities do that. They take the Jonathan bloodline or type bloodline. They take everything that you work for, and now they're pushing it to a new era. You know what I mean? And their kids are going to push it to a new era, and you know what I mean? But instead, now it's like, it's gone.
It's gone. For me, the lesson is control and leverage.
That's it.
We don't control nada, and we don't... Control is leverage. Leverage is power.
Yeah.
If you're not controlling and you don't have leverage, you don't have power. And that's the only thing that really matters in that world. So we can have all the creativity and all the shine, but then if we're giving it up and selling it out,
that's it.
Because we feel we need people and we can't do this on our own, and it's nonsense, right?
Yeah.
Then it's going to continue. And I don't want to hear nothing if people don't have real... I don't care how much money they have. I don't care what they have. If they're not controlling their reality and able to, like what you said, pass it on to others and maintain that control, you ain't got no power.
What are we doing this for?
Yeah, and they ain't got no power. It's an illusion of power. Yeah. They're just famous with a lot of money.
For? Yeah. What are we doing this for? You know what I mean?
You can see, you could be famous and a lot of money, and that don't matter. They could still be a target, right?
100%.
What happened to all that power? Gone.
100%.
You know, so... That's, to me, black men don't realize the power they have.
Yeah.
This is my little black power rant. Like, let me keep it 100. Like, we dominate everything we do. It's not just music and sports.
Yeah.
You know, and we're very creative. So we don't really need a lot of stuff. That idea of need is a problem.
Yeah.
I need this. Good point. I need that. We got each other if we decide to get off our ego and say, yo, let's do this. Let's link up. You know?
I agree. I want to pivot real quick before we end this, because, you know, I think I've shared this on some of my pods in the past, but like, you know, in the last few years, especially during this COVID period, I've dealt personally with a lot of loss from people that are like close to me and, like either close to me or at least at one point we used to be very close and, you know, very positive relationships that are now going. And, you know, recently, like, you know, we lost our mom, right? Like, earlier this year. And, you know, and for me, like, I try to move in a space of positivity and I want to try to, like, I try to move with the energy of, like, honoring her, you know what I mean? And making sure that the things that I do going forward, I'm going to try to be as great as I can be, because that's what she came here for. And, you know, to put us... To put her and her family and her children and anybody else that she can pull up, you know what I mean, to get to a better place in life, you know what I mean. So I want to honor that by, you know, passing that at the very least down to my kids. But you know, of course, I want to get to that mountaintop too, where I can pull and help others, right? So that's how I've been moving with it. But of course, you know, it's my mom, so you know, there's times and space where it's like I'm numb, you know what I mean? Like I find myself kind of like zoning out a little bit. I'm a little bit numb. So what I would ask you as somebody as a mindfulness trainer, and for those who may be suffering in silence, suffering in grief, like what tips could you provide to like say, like, you know, this is these are the things to look out for. You have to just or maybe just have to go through it and just, you know what I mean, maybe don't get too down, too low, like so like even not I mean, this is probably for me, but it's, I would say this is for others too. Like, what would you say?
I'm not an expert on it, and
right.
I think at the same time, though, you know, grief is something that I don't know if it'll ever be a point where it won't affect people. You know, no matter how many years go by, but I think it's important to know that you'll get through it.
Yeah,
right. You can get through this. What you said was key, which is honoring their legacy, their spirit, and taking the values of what they gave us, right, and living out those values is honoring them, right, is continuing their legacy and their spirit.
Yeah,
you know, and it's also a pause is okay. Don't be afraid of a pause.
Yeah,
people are afraid of pauses until you're in the pause, until life forces a pause.
Yeah.
And then you're in the pause, you're like, okay, when I can just relax my mind, it's not that bad. You know, it can, at times it's intense, but I can ride the waves.
Yeah.
So don't be afraid of the pause. Don't be afraid to give yourself time, space, you know, and, but within those, you got to make time for joy. You have to find some type of joy, you know, and it's a balance between that and joy, that and joy.
Yeah.
So one more thing I want to say about grief. Grief is not always about losing people. Grief can be in many forms. Like, there are many people who, you know, they are empty nesters now, or they got laid off or whatever, and their whole identity was part of that career, that job. And then
that's true.
So they're not realizing what they feel is they're grieving that part of them that was caught up in that identity.
It's not just about death.
It's not.
Or it's the death of something else.
Grief can also be like, you know, in a weird way, looking back and saying, you know what, I was mad at myself for things I did in the past, and or I didn't do and I should have done, and you're grieving what you would have done differently. That's a different type of grieving, right? You're grieving like, man, if I didn't do this, I would have been able to do this, or I can't believe I let this happen to me. So people grieve, but they don't know they're grieving. They don't know why they're sad or upset over that.
I thought about it like that.
So allowing those things to process and getting support, reaching out to other people or professionals is key. But knowing that you can get over this, you know, you can. It doesn't mean that it's going to be 100%, you know, gravy all the time, right? Yeah. It's a process.
But, it's all a process.
But honoring them and carrying their legacy can be so healing, you know? And you feel them in your spirit, and you can feel them in your heart, and then you get strength from that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no. So, it's well said, and I feel like, just to wrap, like, yeah, it's kind of what we're, lends to kind of what we're talking about before, like the death of something, right? The death of something, and how do you change and pivot from that? How do you go forward? How do you take the positives from what you built with that relationship, you know, in terms of the grieving, in terms of like with that relationship, and how do you pay it forward? You know what I mean? And like I said, it's hard. It's not an easy process, man, because I find myself days where I'm like, I'll hear a song and I'm like, "Ooh, boy, I got to change the station." Mm-hmm. let me take it off the other, let me put on another SiriusXM channel. Like, and sometimes it's like, it's random. Like, you don't even know it's random. I've heard friends of mine say, like, who's lost their parents and stuff, where they're like, I had one friend in particular, he was like, he was washing his car, and he said a song came on the radio, and he freaking bawled out at the car wash. You know what I mean? And I'm like, yeah, you just don't know when it comes. You know what I mean? So,
you don't.
But it's, like I said, it's great words to end off, man, because, I mean, it's a part of life, man, but it's just, you know, like, the blueprint of what to do afterwards, it's like, I think the community, like your community, is a big help in that. But I think my belief is, I think honoring the legacy of the things that they did, the things that they showed you, and not just a parent, because sometimes your friends, you know what I mean, the people that like are close to you like that, they give you value in a lot of ways that you don't even recognize until either there's a little pause in the relationship or they're gone and you realize, oh my God, they taught me this, they taught me this, they taught me this. Or it doesn't even come down to that. Sometimes you even know that. You already know that, what they've brought to you and how they've helped to change you in a better way. You know what I mean? So if they go, it's like, you got to honor that, what you learned from that, and go forward. You know what I mean? So,
yep, that's it. That's the key. And that really helps people to find a way to move through it as best they can.
That's it.
You know?
That's it.
Yeah, man.
But now we'll wrap up here, man. That's
a good question, man.
We'll wrap up here, man. But thank you, Mr. Boxhill, for
my plug.
Yes,
I appreciate that.
Put into the
bam. Get this book. Get this book. Don't even think about it. This book is awesome. It's all about the mind. And check me for mindful detox workshops. Yes, you're thinking, what is that? It's a way to detox from the past, from emotions that have been haunting you or things that you can't get over. I run mindful detoxes. You know, make a big shift before the end of the year. Thanks, man, for the
pleasure. No, I appreciate you, man. And we're gonna do this again, season 2. We're gonna do this for sure next year. All right, so I appreciate you, man, for sure.